hell is this?
No, let it play out.
What is going on here?
Buddy, you got two people from Vaughn on the show with you today. What did you think was going to happen today?
I didn't have enough time to buy an El Camino and put some fuzzy dice in the mirror.
You don't have an O2 Civic at home, all souped
exactly.
up noodles?
That's what it is. It's the you got to get a Honda Civic. You got to soup it up. You got to drive it along Highway 7. Then you got to park it at coffee time. And then you got to show it off to the boys. And then you got to look all cool when the girls walk by.
Okay, let me ask you this. What did you say? It was a Honda Civic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your industry standard in Woodbridge.
But then you got to soup it up. Why don't you just use the money that you soup up to buy a better car?
Because that would make too much sense.
Doesn't work that way.
If you're gonna buy a and believe me, for all the Honda Civic people out there, don't come at me.
It's a great car.
I'm joking. But like, I've always wondered that. You see a car that's a decent car, but then people just pump thousands of dollars into that decent car.
You want to know why?
Because go to the next level.
Because then you can't go to your buddies and say, Bro, you know what I did to the Civic last week? Hey, you know what I'm doing next week, right? Like, you need something.
You know what I did to the Civic? I made it a Lexus. that's what he should have said, or whatever you believe is a higher-end car. I kind of joke about that, but I've always wondered that because, you're driving down the road. You just mentioned Highway 7. I live off of Highway 27. There will be somebody in a souped-up car that just blows the doors off me. Like, comes winding by. They've got a low-profile whatever it is, and, the wheels that shine and all of that.
Yeah, you lower it. Like, yeah, I dated a guy where I bought him, like, these blue lights that he could put in the front, but then he bought this annoying... Oh, I don't even know
the
word.
Did you do the muffler thing with the loud...
Yes! That's what it is. I can hear him coming a mile away. I'm like, here he comes. Got to put my shoes on. He's ready to pick me up because I could hear him two blocks away, but it drove me insane because I could never sneak back home at night because my parents, they'd be like, were you home early?
Two blocks away.
Yeah, we heard the muffler rolling at 2:30 in the morning. Like, I just wonder, how much is it to soup it up? And would that give you maybe a different vehicle in a different type of stratosphere if you actually spent the money on a better vehicle?
Don't you love when someone speeds by you like that in one of those cars and you just pull up at the red light and they're just standing there again? Like, are we going to do this again?
There's nothing to do, though. Like, I get it, and believe me, I was a young idiot. Like, my first signing bonus, I bought a Nissan 300 ZX or ZX or whatever with Steve Millen exhaust system that gave it 60 extra horsepower. Like, I did all of that at 20, so I'm not judging. I'm joking. Yeah. But, at some point, you're just like, I need a vehicle to get from point A to B,
I had a Civic.
You enjoy it.
That was my first car. I had an O2 Civic when I was going up to Sudbury my first year. It's almost like a rite of passage in Woodbridge to have a Civic.
Isn't it ever? Well, you're listening to the voices of Andy Petrillo filling in for Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McClendon, your regular, and Frankie Corrado is filling in for our boy O-Dog because there was a bit of an incident.
So,
Noodles.
I mean, Andy, you were privy to the group text, right?
Yes.
So I thought about it yesterday because O's like, I'm having my teeth fixed. I'm like, if you're having it fixed, like, that's not, you're not just rolling in and the guy's using some duct tape. Like, I think it's a major surgery. So he sends the group text. He's like, guys, I'm going in. And, and I'm like, I don't know if this guy is going to recover by the time 4 o'clock comes around. So I'm sitting there thinking, we have to maybe prepare on the side. And then he actually's like, I think this could be serious here, folks. And I know he's okay, so I don't know how you guys are. Once you know a friend is okay, it's all right to make fun of them now that you know that they're good.
I think that's fair.
I'm glad you checked up on him because I think I may have just started making fun of him without knowing because he did send an something went wrong text. He did send something went wrong text, and I was like, oh, no. But I just assumed everything was okay. Like, there was screws drilled into...
Oh, it's not a pleasant experience. Anytime I've had dental work playing hockey, it's different than a cleaning, hey? Like, they get in with those drills, and even though you're numbed out and stuff, you can feel the drill, you can feel, all the tools and stuff. It's so gross, but...
It's the sound alone. Like, they need to... With the amount of technology we have in this world, how is it that in the dental world, we haven't found a way to make those pieces of equipment silent? Because when I hear the zzz, like, I'm freaking out. That's it. Yeah. I'm freaking out.
We all have some sort of like mental block towards it because we've all been traumatized at some point. I mean, I'm older than you guys. I like Steph always jokes like I've got silver fillings, like actual silver, like silver. Back in the day.
It's worth something now.
It is. I should hold on to them. But I joke because I've asked my dentist, like, should I have them, you know, replaced or whatever? And she's like, no, they're actually really good and really solid. So
there you go.
It's fine. But when I saw, you know, O was sending some pictures and some updates, and then our group text, like, Mulls is, like, sending pictures of the Terminator, and I thought it was you that sent a picture of Matt Dillon in something about
me.
Mary with the chompers. And it sounds like, from, you know, in all seriousness, he's fine, but obviously in some pain. But now that you know he's okay, like, I can't wait for Monday's show to see, like, if they're, like, good or if something went, maybe they're shorter or a little longer.
That's the risk that you run right now with that kind of procedure.
Right. Like, it's a crapshoot. And we were talking about it yesterday, Frankie. Like, what if the guy just goes a half, you know, not a half inch, but, like, maybe a millimeter too long?
Right. There's not a lot of margin for error. There's no, like, it's got to be so precise when it comes to that because it's going to stick out so much.
Oh. He's like a little beaver. You have to give him a stick to chew on to file that down.
I can't wait. I don't know. I mean, we've all played sports and we've all had, I feel like regardless, men, women, I feel like it doesn't matter. Once you know the person is okay, it's almost like they're fair game.
Especially if it's your buddies, right? Like, because you know when something happens to you, your turn, you're going to get it.
100%. 100%. Like, you're going to get it. And nowadays, it's all about the gifts and the memes and all of that. So the group text is just people enjoying themselves. I think I've told this story before on this show. I'm not going to say the team or the teammate because it's kind of embarrassing, but I had a teammate that got a shot in the ear and his ear exploded. And he went to the hospital because it was quite, you know, I think they had to sew it either back on or, you know, back together. And before the plane took off, like, our bus went to the hospital to pick him up because I don't know if we were crossing the border or whatever. And once we knew he was okay, he came out. And, I mean, keep in mind, you've got a bunch of grown-ass men sitting on the bus waiting for this guy. And he came out with his ear, and he had his head in a head bandage, full head bandage. I thought our bus was going to explode, like, and flip over. Everyone was dying laughing because he comes walking out. Now, it's a serious injury. I have no idea how many stitches he got or what type of pain he would be in. But it was like everyone was like 4-year-olds laughing.
He's
at
right
this
into
guy
the wolf's den there. Like, there's no mercy in that situation.
None.
He has a bandage on his head. The poor guy.
Like a full bandage around his head, and obviously like a giant, like, I don't know, cup over his ear to protect it or something. It was something else, and the boys were dying.
I'll tell you this one, like, before we get into the real sports talk that we eventually have to get to here, I was playing for the Sudbury Wolves, and we were playing in Brampton, Sunday afternoon game, and I took a puck right in the mouth, and I was so lucky that it didn't catch me on the chin. It caught me in the mouth, but what happened was this whole piece, you know, the piece that holds your teeth in, essentially just came off and went back in. And so I hurry right off the ice, get to the dressing room, and the dentist is there, and he kind of, you know, I guess pulls it back in place. But then we had to go to the dentist office, and because it was a Sunday, there's no one working. There's no dental assistant. It's just him, right? So my dad was actually handing him the tools and being the dental assistant. And luckily, it was a game in Brampton. So we were, you know, I had family at the game. But if it wasn't, I don't know who would have been the dental assistant in that situation.
That would have been a slow surgery for you. But like, you didn't lose any teeth? Like, your jaw just got pushed back?
No, it's not that I didn't lose them. They had to cap them all, which I actually was hoping that I would lose some, because when you get a shot in the jibs like that, you want something to show for it. Like, anytime I took a puck or a stick in the mouth, and there was no scar, I'm like, this sucks. Like, no one's ever going to know this ever happened,
right? A badge of honor, right?
Yeah.
Like a badge of honor. Yeah. But I don't know. The pain attached to a lot of that, I just, I was thinking about today, and I was like, all right, you know, the fact that we joke, he loves his personal days, it's a Friday, and I, like, this is legit. Like, yeah. Hayes already had booked these 2 days off. We've had people chirping saying, oh, the Oilers have made it through. Conveniently, Hayes is off. Obviously, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that being said, Hayes had already booked it off. Oh, this was, you know, I would say emergency surgery because he's been on the show for 3 days with no jibs. But, you know, it was.
He was going to be a trooper. He was going to be a trooper. He thought he was coming in.
It's playoffs. It's playoffs, and everyone's gutting it out this time of year, and the O-Dog's no different. He's a player. He's been there, and he knows what it's all about.
O-Dog has one of the most classic playoff photos, isn't it? I think it was in the playoffs, right? With the eye, the black eye coming back out. No, the guy's tough, but I also just think he might be a little wonky at the moment as well. Because we all know, as all three of us having dental work because of damages, they give you stuff to just help you out. So he might, although this could, we should just cold call him. Honestly, let's just see how he's doing. Just give him a call and just see how he sounds.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Oh man, because he's missing out on a good show because we are talking about the Battle of Alberta that has sadly come to an end in 5 games. I still think it was, you know, phenomenal what we saw from the Edmonton Oilers. Wouldn't change that for anything between Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. And then, of course, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Evander Kane. I mean, this is a team that's really getting it done. But those two in particular really shone, just really stood out. You just wish, like, what was it, like the Battle of Alberta for the first time in 31 years. You just wish you got a 6. Yeah. 7 would have been ideal. But
it feels like a little bit of a letdown from Calgary, from the expectations that I thought going into that series that Calgary was going to win and it would be Edmonton kind of hanging on and, you know, McDavid and Draisaitl leading the way. But ultimately, if you look at both teams, you're thinking, okay, Calgary's got the team. Calgary's got the goaltender. They had the regular season that would suggest that this is a team that can go pretty deep, and to see Edmonton take control of that series, I was surprised. I was surprised, but, you know, it made for a good series. I would have liked to see a couple more games at least.
I agree. I feel like it was, not even if you're from the province of Alberta, like or Calgary or Edmonton, or cheer for those organizations, I feel like the whole hockey world was watching that series. Like, because of McDavid, obviously found another stratosphere, but you know, the expectation, I don't know. I think everyone going in was like, Calgary in 6. Maybe McDavid gets it to 7 if he goes all world. Like, I think that's what people were thinking.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes down to it. And, you know, it's like that in all pro sports. Like, once in a while, there's an unsung hero. We get that. Like, a guy that maybe a third or fourth liner that scores a big
goal.
And
That's
a bonus. Yeah. But it's always star power. And the star power for the Edmonton Oilers outplayed the star power for the Calgary Flames.
You can
do the matchups. Outside of game one, where Matthew Tkachuk gets a hat trick and, you know, they put up a 9 spot, I just think Edmonton's team was better than Calgary's, you know, almost to a man. You could argue this guy was better and that guy was better. You know, Mike Smith had some moments, but you know, if you would have said to me at the start of the series, like, hey, you know, who's got the advantage in net? Well, it's Markstrom. He's up for the Vezina.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
he's one of the best 3-4 goalies in the league, easily. And they're a tier above the rest of the guys with him, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, and I always throw Demko in there. I don't know what you think
absolutely.
About that, but
agreed.
those are the 4 for me across the league. And you know, I just think when it comes to the playoffs, people like to say that the top lines cancel each other out. Yeah, sometimes, but it's not always a formality that's going to happen, right? Like, you really, that's your distinct competitive advantage over the other teams is, you know, the guys that you picked first overall, the guys that have the super elite skill sets that, you know, you have a good team in Calgary for sure. You have some really, really special players, but McDavid and Draisaitl, like, that's a class of its own.
Yeah,
right, and
really
you
is.
Really need a full team effort to beat those guys in a single night, but then to beat them 4 games in a series, it's a tall task when McDavid and Draisaitl have taken their game to yet another level.
And
yeah,
Andy,
we're going to get a lot more into the Edmonton Oilers because coming up at 4:30, Dustin Nielsen, host of the Nielsen Show on TSN 1260 Edmonton, is going to join us. So I really want to look at this from a Calgary perspective, because, you know, now that they're out, Noodles, it's also like, what's next for them? And already people right away are jumping on Johnny Gaudreau's a UFA. So Matthew Tkachuk, he's an RFA. So, you know, is he going to set the standard when it comes to you know, the price there with the Calgary Flames. You got a couple D-men, Erica Brunson, Michael Stone, Nikita Zadorov. These are all UFAs. Yeah. What is this Calgary Flames team going to look like next year?
And Tkachuk has arbitration.
That's the thing. He's 1 year away, so you've got to sign him. You've got to extend him. You either have to, you know, make a decision, because you're not bridging him and basically bridging him right to UFA. Like, you've got to make a decision if Matthew Tkachuk is going to be a part of your future. That's a 7 or 8 year deal at a big number. Yeah. I had 100 points this year and 40 goals. And Johnny Gaudreau has earned a big check as well. He's just unrestricted. He could choose any team. So those two massive decisions, you know, I would argue guaranteed you're keeping one, but I think they're going to try and keep two. It'll just be interesting to see. Like,
everyone is going on.
Honestly, at the end of the day, like, everyone says, well, he could go to New Jersey, he can go to Philly because he's from there. I don't know. I mean, I
don't know why everyone's obsessed with someone being from somewhere, so automatically they want to go there.
Yeah, Austin, like, Matthews from Arizona. Like, you know, Chris Johnson had to rush out and make sure that Austin's not going to go to Arizona in, what, 3 years when he's done here, technically on paper. Like, not everyone. McDavid wants out of Edmonton. That's the narrative.
Who wants to go to Arizona? I mean, that's his hometown, but from a professional standpoint.
Yeah, but playing in your hometown comes with all kinds of things, too. Like, there's something to be said for being kind of on your own, right? Like, it's great. You're around family, you're around friends, and, you know, it's a great experience, but you're just kind of on your own. You do your own thing. Like, there's less, not to say distractions, but you're just kind of focused on what you need to do. You have your life there. You have your life at home. There's like a good balance there between the two as a player.
Well,
Frankie, you could probably speak to this too, because, and I'm not speaking out of line, because Carlo has shared this publicly already. Like, Carlo Kuliakova, when he played in Toronto, he's like, there's something nice, like, in the beginning, it's, oh, I'm with family and I get to see them, and you have your support system around you. He goes, but then it got to the point, he was like, where I never got a break from hockey, because people, even if I was walking down the street, you run into a neighbor, you run into a cousin, you run into an uncle, it's always like, why aren't you on the power play, or you're not getting enough PK time, you didn't play enough, and it's like, it's constant.
Why aren't you on the power play? Because I'm probably not good enough. Like,
Frankie, I'm sure you could speak to it on so many levels, like, you know, being from around here,
what
you went through, all of that type of stuff. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Edmonton. I played junior in Lethbridge, which is south of Calgary, and then I ended up playing for the Flames. So everywhere you turn, there's somebody, you know, hey, there's Uncle Eddie, there's my Uncle Alan, there's a guy that I went to high school with. My first ever game with the Calgary Flames, I was backing up. I'm sitting on the bench. The glass is right here. There's a guy in a fur coat banging on the glass. I'm like, who the hell is this?
It's Uncle Eddie?
No, it's a guy that I was in junior high school with. He's like, hey, it's Doug. I'm like,
it's Doug.
Like, who the hell? Like,
it's Doug from Lethbridge.
He's like, call me. And I'm like, yeah, I got your number here sitting in my glove. Like, it was very unique. That was my first experience going back in the NHL, back to an
area. A lot of it's great. Like, it's very supportive. I always got a kick out of the guys who I went to high school with, or guys that I know from around town. It'd be like 3:30, I'm heading to the rink. Hey, bro, any tickets lying around? Like, I was just waiting for you to text me at 3:30 so I could put them at will call for you. Like, no,
you're
man.
Like, I'm not worried about prepping for a game. Let me try and get you tickets.
I got Metallica going right now, okay? I don't got time for your tickets, all right? We got For Whom the Bell Tolls, and then we got Enter Sandman coming up. We got to get in the zone, right?
Exactly. I appreciate that. Yeah. Well, guys, I don't mean to bury the lead here, but I guess I kind of did. Noodles, Blake Coleman's goal. Should it have stayed? Should it have been allowed?
I said this last night. I've got to be consistent with my narrative, but I think it's a great chat here, because I think what we're going to see is maybe the language change in the rule. Because first and foremost, I think we can all establish, I think that puck was going in whether
regardless.
He helped it or not.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay, so that's the first and foremost. He's going a million miles an hour. There's interaction with Cody Ceci, you know. Do you believe? I think there's intent to help it. Like, I think he knows what he's doing. But I said this last night. I'm a card-carrying member of the goaltending union, and I thought they would have counted it. I really do. I feel like the league, maybe I'm wrong, wanting more goals, wanting more stuff is if it's a tie in your interpretation, tie goes to the runner. Tie goes to the goal. Like so last night when I was watching it live, I'm like, you can see there is a little bit of a help along. I think there's a nudge.
It's a little guide, right?
It's a guide.
But it's like it's a wily play by him, right? To just have that little bit of a guidance. It's like he puts a little English on it, right? Just to make sure it gets home. But I don't think when you say a distinct kicking motion, I'm thinking like a follow through with a little extension, right? Like he's blowing snow essentially going into the crease very fast. Right. And you know, like, it's actually a very smart play by him, I think, right? Like, it's gamesmanship. It's, I don't know, it's great coordination, but I thought that should have been a goal. And, you know, like, we've seen other goals around the league this year where guys have kind of twisted their skate or directed it, and it counted. So
You are allowed to direct it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. A guy could shoot at your skate. You can turn your skate and direct it into the net. That is actually illegal.
You just can't swing your leg like a pendulum.
Well, you can't. Yeah. That is why I believe the wording is going to change, or at least get brought up at the general manager's meetings.
Yeah.
Where, you know, distinct, they might just say intended, or, you know, because I think if it's
that's
more
hard to prove, though, right? Like the
whole that's the thing. Like everything, it's like goaltender interference.
The intent is there on that.
Yeah, I believe the intent was there by Blake Coleman, but does it mean that's not a legal goal?
That's exactly it. I intended to direct it in, but I didn't intend to kick it. So
right, like you're helping it along. I personally thought it was a goal, like just watching it as a fan. Like I have to preface my comments. Like everyone, like, oh, I played for Calgary. Absolutely. My best friend is like with the team. Like, no problem. But I also grew up in Edmonton. A lot of my friends are Edmonton Oilers fans. I've said this before. I don't cheer for any team. Do I want people to have success? I wanted this series to go 7. I thought Calgary was the better team. And, you know, ultimately, McDavid and the Oilers came together at the right time, and that's why they're moving on.
Yeah.
But, you know, coming back to the comment, like, I just thought with what we've kind of seen the league trend in that direction, they would have gone, nah, you know what? It's a goal.
Mm. Yeah.
And I thought Dave Poulin brought up a great point last night. He goes, if they would have called it a goal, would there have been a lot of people, would there have been as loud of detractors going, that's no goal?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so.
That's the thing. Like, I think there's one angle on the replay where the foot does kind of have a little bit of like a play,
yeah,
we'll call it.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Not this angle though. Unfortunately, that angle doesn't have a play. Yeah. It's like from behind.
Yeah,
might be this one.
Yeah, that one you could see it a little bit, but I don't. The only reason why I still don't buy it is because he's got Cody Ceci draped all over him. He's going to the net a million miles an hour. And Noodles, you know, like you remember from when you played. If you're making a routine glove save, how many thoughts went through your head in like a split second, right? Or when you went to play the puck, like. So these things, they happen quick, but a lot of things can kind of process in your brain at the same time. So, you know, for him, it's intentional. For sure, it's intentional that he's directing it. And yeah, like you say, there's a little play in the knee or in the ankle, but I just think a distinct kicking motion needs some real follow through and a little, like, even if you want to call it recoil, right? Like, that's.
Well, I mean, Daryl Sutter's comments after, he's like, if you're on the ground and you kick a guy in the face, he's like, that's a kicking motion. Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah, that would be it. Like, I kind of chuckled at that because I was like, yeah it's fair. Yeah. Again, I come back to it. It is. I think they might change the language so that it might be interpreted a little bit differently.
Yeah, and I would be weary about changing the language too much about that because, you know, you're a goaltender, I'm a defenseman. I don't want guys coming around the crease kicking pucks thinking like, oh, I can kick it now and it's going to go in, right? Like, there's a little bit of a safety issue at play there too with those scrums in front of the net where guys are laying down or on one knee, right?
But it is controversial, Andy. I mean, they're talking about it. The first thing I thought about, I know we have to go. First thing I thought about for Flames fans is the Marty Jelena in Game 6 against Tampa Bay in the Stanley Cup Final with, I think, about 6-7 minutes left. The puck, they believe, went over the line and Habib Boulin scooped it out.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of Flames fans think that they won the Cup in 2004 because of that play. And yeah.
They threw a parade anyways. They had one anyways.
They did.
The Red Mile.
Yeah.
But you know what? It hurts because this was less than 6 minutes to go in the game. It would have been the go-ahead goal, too. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about Justin Nielsen as well, host of the Nielsen Show, TSN 1260 Edmonton, who's going to be joining us, obviously, get the Oilers' perspective of it. But I am curious to know somebody who does cover Edmonton, his thoughts on that and the reasoning to go the other way, why it should not have counted, and kind of, you know, what he's been hearing from the fan base and maybe what he saw as well. So the Edmonton Oilers move on. They await their opponent between St. Louis and Colorado. And we'll be talking about that series as well as you're continuing to listen to Overdrive here on TSN 1050 and watch on TSN 4. So I just went to the trusty YouTube because I wanted to remind myself of that Martin Jelena goal that you were talking about, Noodles.
Yeah.
That was in. That was in. Anyways, not to bring up memories for Calgary Flames fans from 2006, but obviously they feel like they got hosed again here in dropping this series against the Edmonton Oilers in five games. So the Oilers move on. 5-4 win for them in overtime. Connor McDavid getting the OT winner. Who else but Leon Draisaitl feeding him the puck? Andy Petrillo, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Frankie Corrado here on this Friday, Mail It In Friday on Overdrive. Dustin Nielsen joining us now, host of the Nielsen Show on TSN 1260 Edmonton. How you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, it's great. The Oilers are moving on. I think a lot of people wanted to see Connor McDavid and Draisaitl move on. Now we see tonight between Colorado and St. Louis if it will in fact be a McDavid-McKinnon showdown in the conference final. But you know we're talking about the goal, the Blake Coleman non-goal. What's been the word around town in Oil Town about that?
It's kind of funny. I was talking with somebody else today, and they said basically north of Red Deer, people think it shouldn't have counted, and south of Red Deer, everybody thinks it should have counted. So here in Edmonton, I mean, the way most of us are going to look at it, I mean, the way I kind of looked at it, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Looks like he might have kicked it, but that's going to be tough to, you know, to take a look at and get any sort of solid read on. And then, you know, it's tough because it's one of those plays where you look at it from like five different angles, and at some angles you're like, oh, I don't know. And then they show that top angle kind of coming in over the top of Mike Smith, and it, you know, kind of looks like he sort of, you know, straightens his leg a little bit and kind of propels the puck ever so slightly. And then, you know, he admitted after to directing it. So I think it all kind of comes down to the interpretation of the rule, like, which is why that rule is going to be interpreted the way it is here in Edmonton and the way it is down in Calgary. So I was just shocked that they said no goal. Like, I looked at it and I went, you know, I think he's trying to kick it in. I don't know if that's what they would describe as a distinct kicking motion. But I thought it was going to be really tough for the NHL to say no goal on that. So I was very surprised when they did.
I agree, Dusty. I think the intent was there, but it was a very gray area. It was almost like a cagey, wily move. So honestly, in my mind, I was like, they're going to count that because almost like tie goes to the runner. I feel like they were going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you know, where I was going to go is coming into this series, you and I talk a lot. And, you know, where was your head, where was the fan base's head realistically about their chances against this Calgary Flames club based on how consistent the Flames were, the matchup in net, that top line of Calgary? Like, was everybody optimistic? Were they a little pessimistic? Were they concerned? Like, I think a lot of people were picking Calgary in six or seven. What was the feedback you were thinking?
Yeah, I think concerned is probably the right way to describe it, Noodles. Like, if you look at, you know, how Calgary played that series before and how you look at how Edmonton has success, you're thinking, man, if Calgary comes in and tightens everything down, it's going to be really tough for the Edmonton Oilers. And the strangest thing about all of this is that, you know, for probably 3 days on my show, and you probably were on at the time too, Noodles, like, we sit there and go, well, you know, if Leon Draisaitl was healthy, this might end up being a completely different series. Mm-hmm. And then Leon Draisaitl goes out and puts up 17 points in five games, which if you would have told me at the beginning of the series that, hey, what do you think about Draisaitl having more than 3 points per game? What do you think happens? I'd say, well, the Oilers probably win in five if Leon Draisaitl is going to put up 15, 16, or 17 points. But nobody really thought that was possible because of the way he finished that Los Angeles series and, you know, Connor McDavid having to try to put the team on his back basically in game six and seven. So the biggest question mark coming in was Leon's health. And the biggest story coming out is the fact that he had arguably the greatest playoff series of all time. So it's a really bizarre twist for sure.
Dustin, you know, one of the, I guess, the underrated storylines of this series for me coming in was going to be a young coach and Jay Woodcroft going up against a very experienced guy like Daryl Sutter. And, you know, for me as a player, I love when young coaches who climb the ranks get opportunities in the NHL, because I feel like there's always this kind of recycling of the same guys over and over. And so when you see Jay Woodcroft have this success, it kind of gives more hope to younger coaches in the minor ranks anyways. But, you know, what is it about Jay Woodcroft and the way he's got this team playing that, you know, ultimately helps them get by the Calgary Flames?
I mean, there's a couple of different things. I mean, first of all, just the way he handles himself and the way that, you know, he's very much about the process. Almost, I've talked to a couple of guys who played for him in the past, not on this team, but guys who played for him in the past, and they said, you know, it's almost to a point where, you know, it might be a little annoying at the beginning because he's so detailed, like, with everybody individually. So he's a huge details guy. And I think the way he handles himself on the bench, the way he handles himself with the media, you know, very calm, cool, and relaxed. So that's a positive. And it was weird because when they brought him in, it's like, ah, they don't want this, you know, it's been a tough year. He's done some good things in the American League. Let's see what he can do. And then if it doesn't work, you just go get somebody else at the end of the year. But I think in this series, he did an excellent job, especially when you look at the other side going in. You know, you've got Sutter, all his experience, Stanley Cups, all that stuff. And Woodcroft, early in that Kings series, we saw a little bit of criticism of him. Todd McClellan maybe getting the better of him, but he got to Game 5 and Game 6. And then I think last night summed up Jay Woodcroft perfectly. Like, the Oilers are up 3-1 in the series. They've got a line in Draisaitl, McDavid, and Kane that had been torching the opposition. They fall behind, and what does he do? He breaks up the most dangerous line in the National Hockey League playoffs and moves Zach Hyman up there. And it works. Like, Draisaitl and McDavid, what they needed last night was Zach Hyman. But I don't know how many coaches, I mean, Sutter never touched his top line the entire series, and they didn't do anything. I don't know how many coaches would have broken up the top three scores in the playoffs in a series where you're already up 3-1 anyway. But he did it, and it worked. I don't want to use the word genius, but that was a really smart move by Woodcroft last night. And that's something that I think he had an advantage over Sutter, who really kind of failed to adjust in this series.
I agree. I thought it was, and he even pointed it out. He said, I don't know if you guys were paying attention. He's like, I put Hyman up there to kind of get him going. And it was the right move. I didn't think, for sure McDavid and Kane didn't have their game. They didn't have their A stuff. You know, Kane obviously had a baby recently. He wasn't practicing, you know, and then McDavid actually admitted, I don't know how many times he said last night, he's like, I didn't have my legs, mm-hmm. which he didn't. But, you know, it was a subtle move, and I thought it was brilliant. But, you know, Dusty, you and I have talked at length. Is there a more polarizing athlete in today's game than Mike Smith? I mean, you know, and honestly, like the good, bad, the ugly, where were you at where he gave the game tying goal up from the parking lot? Because for me, I was like, this is not only series changing, this might be career ending if they end up losing that game and Calgary storms back in that series. Like, I don't know where your head was at, but that's the type of stuff that went through my head when I saw that goal go in.
Well, I'm sitting there at that game. And, you know, they just kind of, you know, power play was coming to an end. So I kind of looked down to my computer briefly because I thought, oh, nothing's going to happen. Look where the puck is, and power play's just about over. And then all of a sudden I hear the crowd with like the, oh. And I looked up and I saw the puck in the net. I looked at the guy sitting next to me. I said, what happened? He goes, they scored on him from outside the blue line. And part of me was like, meh, you know, it was probably going to happen at some point. What that ended up doing was it provided the team with like this incredible learning moment to not panic and lock it down and get that game back. And they did. And probably even earlier this season, like when Dave Tippett was the coach, I think that team completely falls apart. So, you know, Mike Smith got away with that one, and he joked after, you know, I can laugh about it now. I don't know what he was thinking on his drive home that night, because like that was crazy. And then even last night, like, it's such a bizarre series for Smith, because overall in the playoffs, his numbers are pretty good. But last night, you know, they're down 2-0, and then, you know, the Oilers take this lead, and then he allows an absolute stinker on the third goal with Johnny Gaudreau, like a puck that's got to be stopped. So, you know, we had over 1,000 text messages this morning, and 99% of them were positive. But there was a few fans sprinkled in there that were like, guys, this is amazing. but how in the world does Mike Smith play like that and they get by Colorado if it happens? Well, you'll have to see. Like, you just have to know going into the series, and I think we've all kind of accepted it, Mike Smith will probably have two really good games, two really bad games, and two or three games that are good enough for his team to possibly get it done if they play well. You know, it's hit and miss, but the roller coaster with this guy has been quite the ride in the playoffs.
Dustin Nielsen, host of the Nielsen Show, TSN 1260 Edmonton, joining us here. You know, I look at this roster, and certain names that also stand out to me, and it has to be a dagger. If I bring it full circle to Toronto Maple Leafs fans, they weren't fans of Cody Ceci, Tyson Barry, love Zach Hyman. You stole him, by the way. But I see these three former Leafs, and I'm just like, I mean, if you're an Oilers fan, you also have to kind of love that you're sticking it to the Leafs, because everyone loves to do that, too.
Oh, no, definitely not. Not out here. It hasn't been it hasn't been mentioned at all. You know what? You know what's crazy is, you know, just quickly on all three of them, you guys know Hyman. I mean, when he was in Toronto having Noodles and Dreger and whoever on my show, everybody's always like, the Leafs just wish they had Hyman on every line. And I said, well, that seems kind of crazy. And then he gets out here. And, yeah, I mean, you want Zach Hyman on every single line because he's the motor on whatever line he's on. And he's been unbelievable in the playoffs, scored in every single game in the Battle of Alberta, which was pretty awesome for him. Seems like just a great dude. I've had him on our show a couple of times, and he's just the nicest guy. You just want him to have success. And I think he would fit into basically any dressing room ever. And then Cody Ceci, when they signed him, I think, you know, maybe because of, you know, when he was his last Canadian market, being you guys out there in Toronto, and there's a negative vibe, and then things didn't go well in his next stop, I think there was a little bit of hesitation. But Cody Ceci has come in, and I'm not even exaggerating here. He's probably from start to finish been their most consistent defenseman the entire season. Like, he plays with Darnell Nurse. Nurse has been up and down, but Ceci's kind of been on this steady level. And then Tyson Barry, and we talked about this on my show yesterday, like, there haven't been a lot of people complaining about Tyson Barry lately, and I think that's because he's playing with Kulak. Like, I think Kulak has done a really good job coming in and sort of stabilizing that third pair with Barry, and then obviously he's on the power play, and I know I don't need to point it out, but CeCe, Barry, and Hyman have all scored game-winning goals in the playoffs for the Edmonton Oilers, so it's worked out pretty well.
Lovely.
Yeah, and you know what? So I played against Cody Ceci and Junior. We're the same age. We came up together, and I always saw him as a very consistent defenseman. He was actually offensive for, I guess you could say, the majority of his junior career, even starting into his pro career, but it almost looks like a bit of a resurgence for him playing in Edmonton. It looks like the Cody Ceci that was drafted in the first round by the Ottawa Senators. And, you know, the other thing that I noticed about Edmonton is, anytime a game or a stretch of games went south for the Oilers, you could see Ken Holland is trending, Duncan Keith is trending, and like the heat map crew, the pie chart crew, they just hate it, right? They hate that you spent all the money on Keith, but there's something to be said for when a GM knows exactly what his team needs and he goes out and gets it. And yeah, sometimes on paper it may not make sense, but you're looking at a team now that just won in the second round of the playoffs, and now these things, they make sense because you got the success that you need. Just, you know, there's that trust factor from Ken Holland that, yeah, I know what the team needs and I'm going to go out and get it.
Yeah, and he's done a really good job. And, you look at the guys that he brought in, for the most part, have really panned out. And I know, and I saw somebody yesterday on Twitter say, you know, there's a lot of Ken Holland haters out there, and I think you owe an apology. And then I clicked on the replies, and it was just a bunch of haters who were still tearing him apart. So, I mean, it's an interesting market when it comes to that. But, you know, look, whatever happened in the regular season, or, you know, Chicago didn't retain anything on Duncan Keith in the end, and, you know, Mike Smith got, you know, 2 years here, and they tried to move away from Smith. Like, they tried to get Markstrom, didn't get him. They tried to get Kemper, didn't get him, which is kind of crazy that they might have to go through Markstrom and Kemper if they want to get to the Stanley Cup final with Mike Smith at the other end of the ice. But, you know, he's gone out, and the Hyman thing was always interesting to me because even when he was still with the Leafs, everybody kind of just assumed he was going to be an Edmonton Oiler the following season. So he had that thing locked up. And then he went out and he traded Ethan Bear. And a lot of people in his market loved Ethan Bear, but he got Fogle, and Fogle, you know, hasn't been spectacular, but, you know, they've slotted him back in. He was scratched for a couple games, and kind of, you know, last few games alongside Ryan McLeod and Puljujarvi slid down there last night, and they've had a couple of pretty decent games. And then he brought in, you know, with the Duncan Keith thing, they've been riding him alongside Bouchard, you know, the guy with the most experience on the blue line, with the guy who has the least, And in games, I think it was games 3 and 4. No, it was 4 and 5 against the Los Angeles Kings. Those two guys had rough games. They were like -5 over a 2-game stretch on the ice for a bunch of goals against. But since then, they've settled down. And Duncan Keith, isn't worth what they're paying him in, with the way he plays. But he does bring some valuable experience to this group. So it's all, and I don't know how much, unless you're in that room, you don't know how much credit you can give Duncan Keith for maybe helping Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid take another step from a leadership perspective. Like, Connor McDavid has never shown the passion and come across as this outgoing, boisterous leader until this season. And, maybe that has a little bit to do with a guy like Duncan Keith. So, maybe that's worth a few extra $100,000 to have him around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of things that I think Ken Holland, who actually openly admits he's not on social media. He's a guy, as you know, he's a guy who just kind of, he's been around, kind of done it and seen it all. So I don't think he worries about a lot of us yelling and screaming about it, but it's more, he stood by it, and I got to respect him for that, because there was a lot of people, including myself, that were like, okay, what have you seen in Mike Smith to bring him back? What have you seen, to stick with him and not do something at the deadline? And you know what? Good for him that he stuck with it. So, in the end, Edmonton's on to the third round. Dusty, before we let you go, Andy Petrillo started this show with some ridiculous song.
No, it was beautiful. What's
the name of the song, Andy? Do you know it?
Debbie Deb, Lookout Weekend.
Okay. And why I brought it up is because when I go on Dusty's show out in Alberta, like Wednesdays, is it Will Smith Wednesdays? Like have a different type of jive and song for every day, correct?
It was Will Smith. It was Will Smith and Weird Al Wednesday, but then obviously we've suspended Will Smith for a couple of months. So for the most part, on Wednesdays, we just roll with Weird Al now, Noodles.
Okay.
Will Smith has been suspended.
He's been suspended for his actions, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, that would be correct.
Yes. Player safety took a look at that. Supplemental discipline there.
Yeah, we decided we'd just separate for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good call by you, Dustin. Appreciate you taking the time, and have fun covering the next round.
Yeah, I will. Have a good show.
That's Dustin Nielsen, host of The Nielsen Show on TSN 1260 Edmonton. There is nothing wrong with Debbie Deb. We might even bring it back a little later on.
That was the first time.
I felt like I was at a high school dance.
Frank,
like
first time I heard that, and the last time I want to hear it.
Frank, did you go to a high school in Vaughan as well?
You know it.
Okay, I want to find out what school you went to. I'm like way older than you. But either way, I'm going to trash your high school when
actually,
we come back.
Actually, know what? We need to talk about something, you and I. You said something on Leafs Lunch when you were hosting, so we're going
to
hash it out when we come back.
Let's
do that next here on Overdrive. So it turns out our boy Frankie went to Holy Cross. At St. Joan of Arc used to call Holy Cross?
I think I already know, but I'll give you the satisfaction of saying it.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, we were all rivals. It was St. Joan, Cross, and Brazzani. Mm-hmm. No like one another.
No.
Because of the sports. No. So we would call them Holy Crotch and Father Brujade, the Father Burnouts.
Holy Cross was funny because it was like an opposite school. If you were a jock or very successful, you were not cool, right? But if you smoked cigarettes outside and were like one of the burnouts, coolest kid in the school.
Should have gone to Father Brujade then. Maybe that's where you should have gone. All right, what's the bone you have to pick with me?
So I can't remember when this was, but you were hosting Leafs Lunch and someone said to you, Andy, you're from Woodbridge. And you abruptly stopped and you said, whoa, hold on. I'm from Maple. Get it right. And I was listening, and I said, what is the difference? It is exactly the same thing, Woodbridge and Maple. It's just Maple's like a suburb of Woodbridge, essentially.
No, like Woodbridge may have been established a lot longer, but Maple, we were the new kids on the block. We were, still majority Italian, but we had a little bit more multiculturalism. And we lay claim to Canada's Wonderland, so keep your hands
so
off.
So if you're
Canada's
in Maple,
Wonderland.
You look down on us, essentially, in Woodbridge.
No, it's a boundary thing. And I remember, I think the real reason why we also started scrapping was because when Maple started to develop and we started to get elementary schools, the high school in St. Joan of Arc, kids who were on a certain boundary and were going to Woodbridge, they were now being told they had to go to St. Joan, right, or they had to go to like a St. David, a Father John Kelly, whatever, like elementary. So there was like a resentment there, like, I don't want to go to Maple. So we were just like, well, screw you then. And then it just became this rift. It was all about boundaries. Boundaries cause so many problems, don't they?
It's so weird growing up there, too, hey, because it is such a bubble. I don't know if you found that, too. Like, it's like some of the people I grew up with, it's like, hey, you don't get out of Woodbridge very often. I can tell, right? And, like, so I went up to Sudbury. I went up to Sudbury, and I came back, and people at the high school were like, why are you talking weird with an accent? Like, I'm talking with an accent. You should hear your voice right now, right? Like,
such an idiot here.
It's so true, but I love it. I mean, my parents still live in Maple. I don't know if your family's still in Woodbridge, but I mean,
we're all in Vaughan, like all of us. Yeah, wow.
I go back, all the time. Go visit Great Desserts Plus, one of the best restaurants there. It's been there forever. You want the best plate
there's
in Yawkey?
Great restaurants. I will say there's great restaurants around here. We got to get into the good restaurants. And you just said gnocchi or gnocchi, or whatever. We got to get into that, too.
Yeah.
We've had an interpretation of that because there are some people. I think Frankie's not a fan, or are you a fan?
I'm not a huge gnocchi guy.
We got to get into this. Yeah. After the 5 o'clock.
Oh, wait, hold on.
You.
Yeah, I'm okay on gnocchi. It's okay.
All right. Listen, we're going to have to discuss this in the next hour. Hour two, Mike Johnson's going to join us. We know he's covering the World Championship. Keegan Mathison, we'll talk a little bit of Jays as well. They're coming off a win. And then Darren Pang will join us, too, because we got to get set for Colorado-St. Louis. Is this the night Colorado moves on, or does St. Louis stay alive for a Game 7? Hour two, Overdrive coming up.